Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Raj, for sharing that experience, how Lord protected you. It encourages us, and also there are many instances in our lives, like last week, if we see back how Lord protected us in different situations, which we know, but we may not know, like unknowingly Lord has protected from a lot of like sickness and accidents also. Praise be to God. We are here only because of His grace. For today's meditation, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis, book of Genesis, 19th chapter. Book of Genesis, 19th chapter. I request Raj to read the entire chapter for us, so that when Raj is reading that chapter for us, let's look into our Bibles and understand. Genesis 19 chapter.
The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning." "No," they answered, "we will spend the night in the square." But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind them and said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Bring me them out to you, and you can do whatever you like with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." "Get out of our way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, son-in-law, son or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place." The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. The Lord went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his son-in-law thought that he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? There my life will be spared." He said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. That is why the town is called Zoar." By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. When God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. One day the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man around here to lie with us. As is the custom all over the earth, let's get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family line through our father." That night they got their father to drink wine, and the older daughter went in and lay with him. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. The next day the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again tonight, and you go in and lie with him, so we can preserve our family line through our father." So they got their father to drink wine that night also, and the younger daughter went and lay with him. Again he was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of Moabites today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites today.
Thank you, Raj, for reading that entire chapter. Let's all together read the second scripture portion, 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. 6 and 7 verses. We read it all together. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, 6th and 7th verses. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot mixed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." We'll read 8th verse also. "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Lord, may bless this scripture portion to our spirits. Let's look to the God for his help, so that Lord may minister his word unto our hearts and our souls. Gracious, heavenly, loving Father, we come to thy throne of grace. Father, we don't have any, Father, good thing that we should come to you, but only because of your Son, Christ Jesus, the sacrifice which he has done on the cross of Calvary, by shedding his blood and paying all the punishment of sin on the cross of Calvary, and forgiving all our sins and making us your friends. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that privilege to hear thy word, to meditate thy word. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God who have given unto us to lead us into the all righteousness and unto all truth, O Father. Thank you, Lord, for the Genesis 19 chapter, the life of Lot, O Father. Lord, help us open our eyes of understanding. Father, you said in Psalm 81:10, "Open your mouth wide, I'll fill it." Father, with an attitude of hunger, and Father, to hear thy word, to listen from your throne, Father, we come to thy presence. Thou only speak unto us. Father, open our eyes of understanding. Open our hearts. We bind, Father, our seen and unseen powers of darkness. We bring this place under the sprinkling blood. Oh, Father, thou only, Father, we bring our wandering thoughts into captivity. Help us to concentrate and listen thy word, Father. And also, Father, as I'm standing unworthy, Father, person like me, Father, thou only anoint me afresh. And Father, use me for your glory. Hide me behind thy cross. Father, give me a clarity of expression. I'm weak. Father, I'm foolish. Father, without thee, I can't do anything. Oh, Father. Father, as we are coming to thy presence, thou art only, Father, hear our prayer answer and speak unto us through these scripture portions. Father, in Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. As we are meditating the lessons from the life of Abraham, the chapter which we read now is a bit like, we'll be looking into the life of Lot, who is the nephew of Abraham. When we read this chapter, we'll be grievous in our heart. How come like a man like that has done that one? You see that Lord has given an ample opportunities to Lot, but he never used that one. Again and again, he went back to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that second scripture portion which we read, 2 Peter, 2 chapter 6, 7 and 8, there we see, he vexed his soul. He tormented his soul because of the filthy conversation of the people amongst which he lived. So, let's look into this chapter in detail so that Lord may speak to us and we may apply those scripture portions in our life and we may be benefited so that we may not be like Lot, but we may be like Abraham in our spiritual walk. I'll read the first verse. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and that means evening, and Lot sought in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, arose up to meet them, and he bowed down himself with his face toward the ground. See, here we are seeing Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom. So if we go back and see the life of Lot, he is son of Haran, who is the brother of Abraham. See, in 11th chapter, if we go and read, go back and read Genesis 11th chapter, there we can see Terah was the father of Abraham, and Terah has three sons, Nahor, and Abraham, and one more, and Haran. Thank you for reminding me, Haran. And Nahor, Haran, had father of Lot is Haran, and he died before Terah, and he came under the take careship of Abraham, and Abraham and Sarah used to take care of him. If you see Abraham, he was in the land of Ur, where they used to worship the idols, and he must be worshipping the same, without hope and without God. And but Lord graciously, in his eternal plan, he called Abraham out of the land of Ur. As Abraham was taking care of Lot, Lot followed Abraham, and he came to the and he followed Abraham, and he came to the land of promise. He must have seen the life of Abraham. Life of Abraham always signifies two things: altar and tent. Who is a sojourner and a worshipper of God. Always, wherever he goes, he builds an altar and he lives in a tent. When we like meditated in the 18th chapter, when three persons came to visit Abraham, he was sitting at the door of tent. He signifies he's a pilgrim and a sojourner in this world, and he's looking to an eternal kingdom. That's what Hebrew writer says. And there came a famine in the land, promised land, and Abraham went gone down back south to Egypt, and Lord went with Abraham. There Lord has tasted the materialistic life of Egypt, and he know what's comfort of life and what's the luxury life in Egypt. But God spoke to Abraham, and he came back. Abraham came back to promised land, and soon after, in 13th chapter, when they returned back to the promised land, there was a conflict between the herdsmen of Abraham and herdsmen of Lot. And instead of Lot, as he is younger than Abraham, going to Abraham and to resolve that conflict, but Abraham taken that initiative and went to Lot and said that this land before you, choose whatever you want to choose. Lot must have been like, should have been thankful to Abraham, because Abraham was taking care of Lot after the death of his father. So he must have said to, he should have said to his Abraham, saying, you are like my father, you are taking care of my everything, so you take whatever you want and I will follow you, or whatever you want to take, remaining things I will take. But he doesn't say it like that. Deep down in his heart, he has that desire to take the best what he knows the best for him. If you go back to 13th chapter, if you read that verse, Genesis 13 chapter, I'm reading from 8th verse onwards. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. If not the whole land before thee, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord, destroyed before Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as the garden of Lot, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Esau, he has chosen already, he has made a plans, where to go, which place is good, he has done all his research, and how, if I invest there, how much I'll get returns, he knows everywhere. So already this plan is looking for opportunity, when that opportunity will come. Soon the Abraham said that, if you go right, I'll take left. If you take left, I'll go right. Then Lot immediately took the opportunity and said that he lifted his eyes and he saw the plains of Jordan. It's like well watered. And he's comparing with the Garden of Eden and the land of Egypt, because he has seen the land of Egypt. This land of Egypt is like, it's, you know, like a Nile civilization, if you see, it's built on the Nile River, which is very fertile land. So he has saw that one, it's greenery. And he compared with the Garden of Eden, he thought like, it gives the pleasure of this world and luxury and comfort materialism of this world. At the same time, Garden of Eden, Garden of the Lord means, I can have fellowship with the God. That's how he compared. And next verse, if you read it, he says that, then Lord choose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. He chose for himself, not for the glory of God. He thought that will be the best for me. It's greenery. I can earn money. I can like live comfortably. That will yield a lot of returns on investment. And he said that I'm going towards the land of Jordan, and they separated. And if you see, in the 12th verse, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward the Sodom. Here we see, in the first verse, we read that he was sitting the gate of the city of Sodom. We go back and as we read in 13th chapter, he pitched his tent toward the Sodom. He didn't enter the city. He's near to the city. And he pitched his tent and he's staying there. So what made him to go into the city and sitting at the gate of the city, like city of the Sodom? He must have that, like, I'll show an example. Maybe Lord has put me here to give them moral values. I'll be a testimony. He's giving all those reasons maybe, and he ended up having pitched his tent on the plains of Jordan. But he never asked, seek the will of God, whether it's good for him or it brings glory to the God or not. What Bible clearly, Spirit of God records is, Lord chose for himself. Lord chose for himself. Many times, as a believers, we know the God, we know the Word of God. Many times we end up based on our previous experiences, or as based on the market, or based on the situations, we take the decisions. But we never look unto the God and see, Lord, this is the situation, these are the day, shall I go? Can I do this one? When we feel that it's good for me, then we may go towards that one. So choose for ourselves, like for our self-benefit, not for the glory of God. So here Lot has done that one, because although he came out of Egypt along with Abraham, but still that Egypt is deep down his heart. He wants to get into that Egypt materialism. or the wealth or the comforts of this world. So here we see he pitched his tent towards the city of Sodom. If we come further to the next chapter, we know that we have gone through the chapter like four kings fought against the five kings, and the four kings defeated five kings. They took captive of five cities, and they took captive of Lot and his family and all his belongings. I'll read that verse for you. Genesis 14 chapter. Genesis 14 chapter, 11th verse. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. In the 14th chapter, if we come, after some time period, he is in Sodom. He is no more pitched his tent towards Sodom, but he is in Sodom. He entered Sodom. Like always, a man of God says that sin is very expensive. And love, he says that love, unintended consequences. We don't know, like, if we sin that, there will be an unintended consequence. We don't know. Satan won't reveal that. He will say that you will have pleasure. You will have comfort. Once you do, he will face the consequences. You will think, I would have known that before. I would not have committed that. He said like this. Sin makes us to travel further where we never intended to go. And makes us stay more we never intended to stop. And makes us to pay more we never end up paying it. So this sin is very expensive. That's why Jesus Christ, all the way from heaven, he came down, he left his all his glory and paid on the cross of Calvary. The eternal punishment of sin he paid on the cross. It was that punishment was compressed in 3 hours, and he was put on the cross, Jesus. And he bear that eternal punishment, all our punishment, on the cross of Calvary. If we take that advantage and accept him as our personal Savior, we will go to heaven. Or else we have to pay a punishment of sin in hell eternally, because it's very expensive. We never end up paying that. That's why it's eternal. Hell is also eternal. So here he ended up in Sodom. And 19th chapter, we read that Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. What it mean by gate? It's not like in the gate and he's sitting there and watching who is coming and who is going out. Not like that. In Bible, the Old Testament time, all in those areas, in those days, the gate signifies of the authority. They used to come and sit there. People used to come to them if they have any quarrels or conflicts. They would come to that gate. They used to sit the judge or the person who is in authority to give them judgment. So now he became a powerful person in the city of Sodom. Pitched his tent towards Sodom, dwelled in Sodom, then he became a prominent person. If we were in Lord's days, there would be a book on successful life of Lot. So from sojourner to a powerful person. So it's not the end. It's not the end. So here he's sitting in the gate of Sodom, and he's judging. He's in authority. But if we go back and read 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, he was constantly vexing his soul because of livid behavior or sinful behavior of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. There he is compromising his spiritual life, compromising, although his conscience is cautioning him, it's not right. He's not enjoying it. He's torturing his soul, but he wants to have that one, to take hold of that one. He got the power. Someone said like this, a person thinks money can do anything. He can do anything for money. If a person thinks that he can do anything with money, he can end up doing anything for that money. So that's why if you turn to Matthew, Lord Jesus Christ has told that these gospel writers have recorded two times the same verse. Matthew 6:24, if someone reads for me.
No man can serve two masters.
No man can serve two masters.
For either he will hate the one or love the other.
Yeah, you have to hate one and love other.
Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other.
Yeah, you have to hold to the one and despise the other.
He cannot serve God and mammon.
He is talking about who are those two masters. God and mammon. In other translation, if you read in your Bible.
Both God and money.
Money. And in Luke 16:13 also, is the same verse and use the God and money. We can't serve both God and money. See, Lord in his life, he wants money, wealth, or luxury, comforts of this life, the comforts of this world, at the expense of his spiritual life. He thought that I can have same wealth, are the comforts of this world, friendship with this world, at the same time friendship with the God. Jesus Christ is clearly telling, you can't serve two masters. You have to hold one and despise other. Love one and hate other. He's talking about two masters. Which two masters? One is God and other is man. And one man of God says that money will promise same promises given by the God. Money will say to you, I'll be with you in your sickness. I'll give you happiness. I'll be with you in economic crisis. I'll give you comfort. Same promises. That's why God is warning us. You have to hate one and love other. Hold one, despise other. It's not like we should not have money. It's like we have a saying in, like we learned in our school days, fire is a good servant and it's a bad master. Same thing, like money or wealth is a good servant, but it's a bad master. And Abraham Lincoln, he said that in adversity, everyone can behave well and they will be good. If you want to test a man, give him power. Give him power. So always Satan tries us to attract with money and power in the position. Here, Lot has trapped in that one. Lot has trapped in that one. He came in search of wealth and he ended up in Sodom and he became a position. He got a position, authority in Sodom. And if you go further, here we see the grievous sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. In New Testament also, whenever Lord says of the second coming, the wrath of God, judgment of God, he uses the days of Noah and the days when people were like Sodom and Gomorrah. He always constantly warns about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we see how grievous their sin is. Now we say that now world is so wicked than last 10 years. But it's not, it's the same sinful nature is there. See, back in those days, like when these two angels came and visited Lot, he received them and he put in his house and he treated them, he made a feast. If you compare the treatment which Abraham had given and Lot had given, you will know, like you can meditate in your personal Bible study. So there, you can see how there is a difference of hosting or entertaining and a visitor. And the mob in the evening time he came, like those two people, angels came to Lot in the evening time. And in the night, from, I will read that verse, fourth verse, 19th chapter. But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called out unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. They want to have a physical relationship with that two persons. All the city of Sodom came. You know, if you see how much they are like filled with that sinful thing. They want to do it at any cost. That's the heart of a sinful man. From old to young, not only old or young people, but old to young, everyone was there. That's the grievous sin of the Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lord want to deliver Lot from that place before he judges that place. And although he knew that those two people came to deliver, to take him out of the city, Lord might have, and thank you for coming me and telling me that you are going to burn down this city today, tonight, and I'm ready. He may be packed up and he should have gone, but it's not the case. If you read the chapters down the verses, he's stating he's lingering. Why? He knows that tonight God is going to bring the judgment. Still, he is not able to act. Still, he is not able to go out of that place. Because his heart is in that city. He has invested a lot, his time, his resources, everything in that city. It has given him so much. He doesn't want to come out of that one. So many times, like, we start with the pitching tent towards the Sodom, then enter into Sodom, dwelt in Sodom, then came position, we have authority and prestige. We don't want to leave. God has given ample opportunities, like Abraham rescued from the Sodom and Gomorrah when he was taken captive by the four kings. He would have thought, oh, Lord is teaching me something. I should not stay in this place anymore. He is showing something. Let me go to God. And I'll ask my uncle Abraham what I have to do in this situation. Abraham might have told him, maybe. It's not the right place to live. Come out of it. But he would not listen to him. Again he stayed. And he became a prestigious person. The night he's going to, city is going to get judged. He's not moving. If you see Abraham's reaction while Raj was reading, this thought came to my mind, like, God is giving me that thought. Like, when God shared that he is going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, how Abraham reacted. And when angels, these two angels, shared that they are going to bring, God is going to bring judgment on that Sodom and Gomorrah, how he's reacted. Abraham was pleading to save the city because of he was coming down 10 people. But Lot said that although they want to pull him out, he's saying that, oh, I want to go to small city. He's lingering and he wants to save himself. I can't go out of this city. That like fat skin, he became. He was not able to respond. I am not able to understand the purpose of God. Act immediately. So what angels have done, they took hold of his hand. And he asked, before that they asked him, like, are there any of your family members, relatives? So that he went to his son-in-laws and told them, but they mocked at him. What's the cost he paid? What's the price he paid living in Sodom? C.S. Lewis, he said like that, aim at heavenly things, you will get the earthly things. You will get heavenly things and earthly things too. But if you aim at earthly things, you won't get anything. So you ask a Lord, how much it costed you, Lord, to dwell in Sodom, if you ask that question, he lost his testimony. When he told, like, when people of Sodom and Gomorrah came to his house in order to have a relationship with that two visitors, he said that, don't do that one. They said that, you came as a sojourner, who are you to tell us? Then they didn't bother to listen to him. And when he went to son-in-laws, told him that judgment is going to come, he said that, don't joke. That's the testimony he had. Don't joke with us. What are you talking of that? He lost his testimony and he lost his family too. If we read further down verses, he may be married in Sodom, I don't know. Maybe she is from the Sodom, his wife. The angels clearly told him, when you go out, don't look back. But her heart was in Sodom. She turned back and became pillar of salt. And Lord reminded in, Luke 17:35. Jesus Christ is saying this verse. Luke 17:32. Remember Lord's wife. There's a single verse is speaking about Lord's wife, Lord Jesus Christ. He's asking Jesus Christ as warning us, as exalting us, remember Lord's wife. Where is our heart? Where is our desires? He lost his wife. And when we read further last portion of this chapter, his two daughters ended up having children with him. They are Moabites and Ammonites. You see there, if you read the Old Testament further down, like when Israelites were redeemed from the bondage of Egypt and the way to Promised Land, these are the people who constantly want to pester the people of God. They became a hurdle to the people of God. He lost his testimony, he lost his family. And if you ask what more you lost, he lost everything. Lost everything, is only person just living. If you read 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter, I'll read from 11th verses onwards. 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter 11th verse onwards. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's works abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Here we see that we can build our house on a foundation with the precious stone, gold, silver, and stones, hay and stubble, but it will be tested by fire. We know that last couple of weeks back there was a big bushfire in Blue Mountains. They have to run out from their houses, but they had a time to pack their precious things and come. Whereas in Lord's case, if you ask him what you gained, how much wealth, how much investment, how was the return, he said that nothing. It was ashes. He's running out for his life. Nothing is there. So the warning for us, exaltation for us is when we go into the presence of God, are we going empty-handed with a shameful face? Or are we going with a reward? Are we laying our foundation with the precious stones, gold, silver and hay? Lord is speaking to me and all of us. We may end up like that will be tested by fire. It's going to abide, then he is going to reward us. He wants to reward us and he wants to build us our foundations with the precious gold, silver and stones. But how we are investing our time, resources, where we are investing. So Lot is an example. In 2 Peter, 2 chapter, says it happened to Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. Example for all of us. So, last week in the calendar verses, there was a verse from Proverbs 4, I think 23. Keep your heart diligently, from it flows the issues of life. And in that explanation, that commentary says that Andrew Murray or Tozer asked a few questions. What is important thing in your heart? On which things you think most, how you are spending your money. To examine our heart, he has posed seven questions. If you have that verse back last week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah, Thursday or Wednesday. So, always word of God comes to us, encouraging us, at the same time warning us, making us to walk in the right way. Lord doesn't want us to be like Lot's. He wants us to be like Abraham's. Like Uncle was sharing in the morning, he called us friends of God. Abraham, there was a title. If you go and if you just imagine, if you go to the Abraham's tomb and see, it was written, friend of God. So, what will be written on our tombs? God has given that privilege to be friend of God. But are we giving the same access to God? Are we friend to God? Are we friend to the world? He says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. So in the world there is lust of eye, lust of flesh and pride of life. So Lord is speaking to us so that we may be like Abraham, like friend of God. And if you see the all things this happen in the life of Lord, with started from a single step. He lifted up his eyes and saw the grief and chose for himself. In the same chapter, Abraham also lifted up his eyes, but it's different context. Lot has lifted up his eyes to see what he wants, choose what he wants, whereas Abraham lifted up his eyes to see what God has given him. So, may Lord help us, whatever decisions in the coming week we have to take, or we are going to take, may depend on God and by His guidance, by His counsel, we may proceed further. And one man of God says, we know all that, like, God will never lead us to a place where His grace will not sustain us. And the best place to live is in the will of God. And there was a story told about, and during the Second World War, Nazi Air Force used to bomb England by seeing the sun in the River of Thames. So on the bank of that river only there used to be stay a family. Say that it's not dangerous, believe it's not secure or good to stay here because our fighter planes are coming here and they are starting from bombarding here. Someday they may bombard us. And without seeking the God, they moved to another place where they felt it is a secure. What happened one day, like, this Nazi Air Force has bombarded, the flight has bombarded entire London, that area. While returning back, there was one bomb stuck in the nozzle. So they want to throw it down. So they put it down, so it fell on that house. So we feel it's the best place, but God knows what's the best place. He'll never lead us to a place where His grace doesn't sustain us. May God help us from the scripture portion that we may not compromise where we live. Whether we live at the workplace or the place where we live or to whom we fellowship. God wants us to be a testimony. He wants to speak about Him, to glorify His name. Many times we keep silence for a long time, saying that, stop that, start glorifying me. Share about me to your colleagues, to your neighbors, to your friends. And also He's warning us, is there any Sodom in our heart? Is there any friendship? Or is there any association? Is there any habit in our life that is taking us away from God? sin is very expensive and is a law of unintended consequence. May Lord help us. Let's go down and pray. Loving, gracious Father, you are so gracious. You know we are weak, we are foolish, we are feeble. Many times we fail you, yet you love us till the end. In your love, you want to correct us, you want to discipline us, you want to make us walk in your way, the way which is best for us. Father, many times we, Father, disobeyed thee and we went in our own way, but you chastened us, you corrected us and brought us in your ways. Lord, as we are walking in this life, in this world, help us not to be like a Lord, but to be like a Abraham, friend of God. Father, help us to look unto you, to get it from you, the Father, who is author and finisher of our faith. You know what is the best for us, the Father, and also help us to keep our heart diligently, because issues of life flows from it. Father, help us to make use of our money, Father, for your glory. Father, we commit our families, our Father, jobs, and our time, and our resources, and everything into your loving hands. Lead us and guide us. As we are going into the world, we may serve you, and we may testify you wherever we are. Help us not to compromise with the Father, world, but to glorify you through our lives. Father, we commit once again ourselves into your loving hands. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, continue to, Father, speak unto us through your word and lead us and guide us. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray.
Amen.